Amen. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 8 this morning, beautiful chapter. Chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, all talking about the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Specifically in chapter 7, he's introduced as Melchizedek, the great high priest from the Old Testament who met Abraham. And this passage, this whole chapter is just a beautiful chapter about this new covenant. So let's look there in verse 1. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall teach not every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." So today we focus on this better covenant. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word, privileged to have a copy of it, be able to open it together, and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in our hearts, which we pray he will do today. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. May you guide us in your truth. And we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. As I mentioned, chapter 7, if you go to verse 26, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal high priest. It says here in Hebrews 7:26, "For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." There's no question that Melchizedek was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, talking about Christ's offering of his blood and his sacrifice at Calvary, Hebrews 10, 12, it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest. And he is executing that high priestly ministry as we speak, interceding for you and for me. The Bible says there in verse 1 that he is the high priest. He is on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. Now, when God gave Moses the pattern, we've been looking at this in Exodus on Sunday nights. God was having Moses build the tabernacle according to the pattern of the true tabernacle, which is in heaven, the one where Jesus Christ offered his blood for our sins. Hallelujah. And if you go to Hebrews 9:11, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it mentions this. It says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." So he's not talking here about the earthly one, but the heavenly one. "That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." This is not something that has to happen daily, weekly, yearly. once. The Lord Jesus Christ offered his blood to pay for our sins, through which we receive the redemption and the justification and so forth at the true tabernacle in heaven. As it says there in verse 5 of our passage, the tabernacle that Moses built was a shadow of heavenly things. He says, according to the pattern, God gave Moses this pattern and said, build it like this. He told him the dimensions. He told him every piece of furniture, how everything should be made. Very explicit instructions, because it was a shadow of the heavenly tabernacle where the Lord Jesus Christ would one day, thousands of years later after Moses, would one day enter in heaven and offer up his blood as the final sacrifice for sins. Up to that point, the high priest once a year would enter into the Holy of Holies and offer up an atonement for God's people. But it had to be done every year. And as it says in another part of Hebrews, the blood of calves and goats can never take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to start focusing on the second part of this chapter. Verse 6, he says, now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. We're talking here about the better covenant and a more excellent ministry. If you go to 2 Corinthians 3 quickly, this passage, I was at a wedding recently and a Seventh-day Adventist came up to me and started trying to talk to me about the law, which they love to do. And I took him straight here. And he didn't know what to say. He said, well, I'm going to have to go study this further. Anyway, in verse 7, it says, if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, so there's no question what this is talking about, amen, the Ten Commandments engraven in stones, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. My friend, it's been done away. We're told in Colossians that it was nailed to the cross. And the reason for that is Jesus brought in more excellent ministry. Jesus brought in a better testament. Jesus brought in a better covenant. Everything that Christ brought is better. He says there in verse 6, a better covenant of Hebrews chapter 8. In verse 6, he says, established upon better promises. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 7:19, turn there if you would. The law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope. The hope that you and I have, think about it. We have eternal life, which can't be taken away from us. We have a home in heaven reserved, which can't be taken away. And we know that Jesus is coming soon. That's the better hope. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:22. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. A testament doesn't go into force until someone dies, right? It's another name for a will. A will doesn't mean anything until the person dies. Jesus Christ died and brought in a better testament. Look at Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. There is no better sacrifice than the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God. And then Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. And I'm sure that country is much better than this one. Amen. And so Jesus Christ was given this more excellent ministry, brought in a better covenant, a better testament, based on better promises, better sacrifices, and he has purchased for us a better country. Hallelujah. It sounds like it's better, this new covenant. It says in verse 7 of our passage, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Now that first covenant was the covenant of the law. The law was given, as we're told in Galatians, to be our schoolmaster, to show our sinfulness, to show that we can't measure up to God's holiness. The law was never given to save man from sin. It can't. But the law does show our guilt, that we have failed God. And it is to lead us to salvation. But when Jesus, if you go to Matthew 26, 28, when Jesus met with his disciples there in that upper room, he began to intimate about what was coming. Of course, they didn't understand it at the time, that he was going to die for man, and that his blood was going to bring in something new. Notice Matthew 26, 28. He turned to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission for many for the remission of sins." The New Testament, the New Covenant. He said it's going to be sealed, it's going to be established with what? His blood, which would be shed for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without shedding of blood there is no remission." So back to our passage, verse 9, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers," this is God speaking, "when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not." He said they broke that. They broke every covenant I made with them. Thankfully, a couple of the covenants were unconditional. Amen. Like the covenant he made with Abraham many, many years before in Genesis chapter 12. The covenant he made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That a descendant of David would sit on the throne forever. But most of the other covenants were conditional based upon their obedience, and they broke them. And that was the covenant of the law. He said, "I will make a new covenant," and that covenant is found in Jeremiah 31. So let's turn there quickly. I know this is a little bit technical, but we need to understand this. Jeremiah 31:31. Is the covenant that God is repeating here in Hebrews chapter 8. So let's look at the original. Jeremiah 31:31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts and will write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So this covenant began, if you will, at Calvary, but it's not finished. Israel has not been redeemed as a nation yet, have they? They've not been given this new heart yet. They've not been forgiven of their sins yet. Because all of this takes place, as we know, at the end of the tribulation period, when the Jews are allowed to go into this kingdom that they've been waiting for thousands of years. And God talks about this kingdom there in the end of this promise. "All shall know me. From the least to the greatest." Everyone will know who God is. Everyone will know who Jesus is. But that won't happen until Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. There will not be peace on earth until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes it. And that is explained a little bit more in Isaiah 11:9, if you want to turn there quickly. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. The Bible says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." That word mountain there is referring to the kingdom. "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Imagine a day when everyone on earth knows who Jesus is. knows who Jehovah is. That day is coming. And if you're a born-again Christian, you get to be part of it. Amen? But you got to be a born-again Christian. You have to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ to be allowed to have a part in this Jewish kingdom. This Bible is Jewish. You can't get away from that. It was written by Jews. It's all about the Jews. Jesus Christ was a Jew. And the kingdom will be Jewish. You and I get to be grafted in, hallelujah, because of what Christ did at Calvary. But this thing called the church age, which we find ourselves in, was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. Because when Jesus offered the kingdom, it was a genuine offer. The first thing he and John the Baptist preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was a genuine offer. If they had repented, the kingdom, the king was here and was willing to give them the kingdom. Did they repent? No. They nailed him to a cross. And God, being God, knew what would happen, but also had it worked out such that it could go either way, if you know what I'm saying. God knew they would reject Christ, and hence he brought in this new age, which we call the age of grace or the church age. But the Old Testament's prophets never saw it. Because if they had seen it, then that would have said, well, then God already knows in advance that they're going to reject Christ. Therefore, his offer wouldn't be legitimate. You see how that works? But it was legitimate. And I know this is a bit complicated. But praise God for the new covenant. This new covenant that God has made with Israel, which you and I get to be a part of, about forgiveness and about an eternal kingdom, starts off with the millennial kingdom and then goes on forever, that you and I get to be part of. And it's all because of Jesus. Jesus Christ, when he died, when he rose again, he established a better covenant. He sealed it with his blood. He brought a better testament based upon better promises, gave us a better hope, the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven forever, the hope of the presence of Jesus Christ. All of this is better. And one day, you and I will be able to go to a better country and be with God. But only if you have accepted the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 John 2:2 quickly if you would. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for you and for me. His blood paid the price. When he said it is finished, when he died, when he rose again, he paid the price for the sin of every human being. Notice 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation, that means the satisfaction, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen? Anyone can be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This world, as a whole, the majority are not interested. How sad is that? That their own Creator loved them enough to become a man and to pay the price for their sin. Because God is loving, but He's also just. And offers through what He did the gift of eternal life. We don't have to pay for it. We can't earn it. We just need to receive it by acknowledging that we're sinners and that Christ is the Savior and asking Him to save us. This better covenant is a beautiful thing. And you and I, if you're born again, we're part of it. We're not Jews. Don't misunderstand me. But we were grafted in, and we do get to enjoy the benefits. And when Jesus comes back, by the way, we'll come back with Him. You'll see that in Revelation 19, because we'll already be in heaven, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians recently, chapter 4. We'll already be up there. Well, the tribulation is going on down here, and then Jesus will return, judge Israel, judge the Gentiles, and then that covenant will be complete when Jesus sets up his eternal kingdom in Jerusalem, and we'll be there, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Thank God for the better covenant, the better testament, the better hope, based upon better promises, a better sacrifice, and buying for us a better country. Amen? We are so blessed. to be Christians. And I hope everyone in this room can say, I know I am a Christian. I know the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven my sins. If you can't say that, you need to be saved. You must be born again, as Jesus said. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and beautiful word. Thank you for this amazing truth about the New Testament, the new covenant, the better covenant that you purchased with your blood. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive the gift of eternal life because of what Christ did. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would make sure they have received that gift. If they haven't, that they would settle it today. And Lord, that we would do our best to tell others what Christ did for them, that they also may have a part in this new covenant. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we love you.